Hey, ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick. We are your ECHL Ice Level hosts.
Can expect to hear a new episode every week throughout the season on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear from players, coaches, and staff within the league.
Today we have a special two-for-one episode. We have Nick Cannata, defenseman slash forward from the Idaho Steelheads, as well as Cam McGuire, the Steelheads broadcaster and media relations director, who everyone out there probably knows better as Big Fishy from his Predict the Fish videos from before each home game. So a fun episode ahead here today. All right, on today's episode of the ECHL Ice Level Podcast, we are joined by Cam McGuire, the radio voice, TV voice, fisherman, and media relations director for the Idaho Steelheads, and Nicholas Cannata, defenseman forward for the Steelheads. Guys, we thank you both for joining us today. Nick, we're going to start with you. The team's coming off a good weekend in Kansas City, winning 2 out of 3, and now another big weekend ahead here as you come home and play Tahoe. So there's 2 wins in Kansas City. Is that something you guys are hoping you can obviously build off of coming here in the next last 5-6 weeks of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously this time of the year, every game is important, and, you know, Cam will attest to this. We've been talking about how meaningful games are down the stretch. And, you know, for us, it's felt like every game has been meaningful, fighting for a playoff spot. And, you know, to build off the momentum from Kansas City, you know, first place team in our division. And I felt like we handled that series great, getting, you know, 4 points out of the 6 points, and played really good hockey, and a lot to build on from there going into Tahoe.
So personally for you, you've had 7 goals within the last 7 games. That's pretty impressive, including 1 hat trick. So, you know, what has helped build up your momentum or has been like the key to your success here in the second half of the season so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, just kind of getting into a little bit of a role here, and, you know, my confidence has come up a long way from, you know, the beginning of the year, and, you know, starting to get on the score sheet and doing what I can to help the team win and, you know, producing points. And, you know, for me, it's been a great couple of weeks, and my confidence is at an all-time high, and, you know, just kind of building off that throughout the next series and continue to produce where I can, whether it's on the score sheet or not, do everything I can to help the team win.
Shifting over to you here, Cam, how have you seen the team and the locker room kind of handle the ups and downs of the season? Good bit of call-ups, a lot of injuries, but maybe hitting their stride here as we enter the last month of the season.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, this is my third year in Boise, as well as Nick's third year here too. And I think for us personally, like 2 years ago, it was, to be bluntly honest, it was kind of a walk in the park until the finals. And then last year was not to that degree, but pretty similar. And so this year has been really different, right? It's been a lot of ebbs and flows. And everyone asks me, especially like the last like month or two, they're like, oh, how's the season going? Or how's the season been? And I'm like, the first word or description that I come to grasp with is roller coaster ride. So it's been crazy. Like, I think it's cliche to say, but you never get too high and you never get too low. So I think like after the week in Kansas City, like, yes, got 4 of 6 points, but now it's a new week and you kind of move on. And not saying that you forget about it, but you kind of take bits and pieces from the good and the bad to kind of carry that momentum in. But I think the crazier part too is I think like 50% of our games have been decided by one goal, and we've gone beyond regulation 19 of our 57 games. So it's been dramatic at points, and the heart, I don't know if it can handle it anymore.
Well, on the topic of Cam here, Nick, we have to ask you, the first time you saw Cam in his Predict the Fish costume, what were you thinking? Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I think like everybody, I was pretty shocked, and it was pretty funny to see the small guy in a fish costume. But no, I mean, it's been a thing that's been going on for the last 3 years in Boise, and, you know, the fans love it. We love it. It brings some entertainment and fun to the game. And, you know, Cam does a great job with playing the role and being energetic and exciting. And yeah, it's been fun. I mean, we've had, you know, kind of on the line every time Cam does it, we'll do a little bet or something, you know, where, you know, some guy might have to wear the costume, the grocery store, or, depending on who wins gets the first goal. But yeah, it's been pretty funny and we enjoy having it.
It's become a big time favorite around the ECHL. I got to experience it in Tahoe with you a few months ago there, Cam, but kind of just walk us through the quick story about how this all came to fruition when you got to Boise 3 years ago.
It's kind of like, I mean, it's obviously stupid because I mean, but in all seriousness, I was driving out here and I was on my way here from Wisconsin, and I think I was in like the middle of Wyoming, and I was just kind of like thinking as I'm driving, I'm like, I gotta come up with some sort of shtick, like something that one is going to be easy to like put together, but something that needs to be consistent. I think like a lot of times, like, it's kind of basic practice. Like, if you kind of build a routine and make something consistent, you have a fan base that knows every home game, like, this is going to happen. So they're going to be like ready for it. So my thinking was like, let's kind of come up with something that's, like I said, easy to put together, where it's not this big on production. It takes 90 seconds to film and 2 minutes to edit, and you just blast it out there and get people to engage. So I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, what could this be? And I'm like, okay, well, the Steelheads, they do the first goal where they throw the fish on the ice after the first goal. And I was just like thinking, and then I don't know what made it click. It must have been the landscape in Wyoming and the beautiful beaches that were surrounding Wyoming, Cheyenne to be specific. And I was just kind of like, oh, like, predict the fish. I'm like, I'll dress up as a fish and I'll grab a player every morning the day of the game, and we'll predict who's going to score the first goal. And we'll put it out on social media, and we'll encourage our fans to comment with who they think is going to score first, and we'll have some sort of incentive behind it. And I was like, that's it. So I obviously didn't look for a fish costume while I was driving, but believe it or not, there's not many fish costumes out there. And there's a reason why that I haven't changed the costume. I've gotten a new one each year. I have looked into like getting a different one to kind of change it up a little bit, but there's really no inventory. So if anyone wants to come up with a new costume, by all means, I'll entertain that. But that's kind of how it came up, and shout out to Amazon, $24.99. And I think their sales from that like costume, whoever's like doing background research and like analytics for Amazon, is probably like, what in the, like, why are all these fish costumes? Like, they probably sold two of those before. And now
I wish you guys understood the fan base in Boise. We have like a cult of
it's crazy.
Fish costumes.
Oh,
like, there's
I've
a whole
been there. Yeah.
Where, yeah. It's but, insane to see.
Yeah, but they're running the ball and they're running on the road.
Yeah.
It kind of has to be a good ego boost to you, seeing how it's caught on and the fans are dressing up and have really bought into it in the last
Yeah, you know, years. You know me, I just have the biggest ego out here too. Like, so once that all happened, I was just like, I could barely walk through the door the next morning. But that's the long story short. It's kind of, like I said, kind of dumb, but like I said, it just kind of came to fruition, and it was an easy thing to put together. And I remember after my first year, I was like, am I going to continue to do this? And then I think it was like going into the season, I'm like, yeah, there's no way I can't, like, can like stop doing this, because there's been a couple games where I haven't like done it for whatever reason. I think during playoffs, sometimes I won't do it. Just like more of
a
superstition
thing. Is it a
one
size fits all, or is that a kid small you wear in there?
No, I think they actually make like different ones. I can't remember from when I ordered it. But like I said, like, a couple games I don't do it and people are asking for it. So I'm like, man, I got to keep doing this or people aren't going to be happy. I like to make the people happy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about that. Okay, we're going to shift gears here again. Back to you, Nick. You played in Sweden for a while before coming back to the Steelheads, the ECHL in the U.S. So, you know, just walk us through that experience living overseas and playing there for what it seemed like maybe a few years. Just tell us everything about that.
Yeah, I played in Finland. So I went in the OHL. I was... we ran into COVID. So my third year was, we played maybe half the year. And then my overage year in junior was shut down as well, and decided to take an opportunity to go to Europe, and landed in Finland. I landed in the second league there and played about a month. Really enjoyed my experience and the opportunity, and decided that, you know, for the next year, I decided to sign my first pro contract. And yeah, I started in Liiga. I played 3 months in Vaasa and then moved to the second league in Rovaniemi, Finland. And I mean, I can't express how much I enjoy the experience and the life lessons I learned, you know, on and off the ice, and learned a lot about my game, and got to experience a different side of the world. There were so many cool things to do there. So to get my feet wet in Europe was something I wanted to do, and the opportunity to play there and then kind of bring my knowledge back from what I learned in my first pro year to the East Coast Hockey League. It's been incredible. I've really enjoyed what my experience was there, and I've enjoyed my experience here.
Was there anything specific that led you to jumping back to the U.S. over here and starting your career here now?
Yeah, I think just the goal of moving up in North America, and you know, the ECHL is known for moving their players up into the American League and to the NHL, and I thought it'd be an easier opportunity to get noticed here, and I wanted to play pro in North America. That was always a goal of mine, so I've kind of used it as a stepping stone, and my last 3 years in Boise have been absolutely incredible playing in the ECHL and in Boise. It's been, you know, nothing short of amazing. So I've enjoyed every step of the way.
You've been playing both defenseman and forward a time this season. How has you always been comfortable kind of playing both ways? I guess it goes back to when you were in the Devils development camp a few years ago, but is it also kind of a grind mentally and physically to switch back and forth, or is it something you enjoy getting to play all facets of the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe earlier in my career when I was doing it, it was harder to jump back and forth and, you know, knowing the systems from both sides of the ice. But now it's kind of just a tool in the toolbox. I know what forwards are thinking. I know what D are thinking. And it's helped my game excel, you know, knowing both sides of the ice. And I couldn't really narrow it down to what I like better. I enjoy playing both. You know, on forward, you get a lot of opportunities to score. And defense is, you know, I see the ice a lot better and kind of control the puck. And I think I've enjoyed playing both spots. You know, ultimately, I'm willing to play wherever the team's going to need me. And, you know, in this league, there's so many changes. There's so many call-ups and injuries and, you know, things like that that go into effect. And for me, being able to play both places, I think it's, you know, a good opportunity for me and a good opportunity for the team to use it.
So, Cam, you've been with Nick now and the Steelheads for 3 years. So how have you seen him maybe specifically or in general develop as a player on the ice?
Well, I wanted to go into his personality.
Go for it, whatever you want.
No, I think honestly, like, even aside from Nick, I think there's a lot of guys I can't think of off the top of my head, but a handful that have kind of been here now 3 years. So for me personally, it's been great to kind of like go through this journey with them, and obviously the season we had our first year here was amazing, and you know, last year was great as well, and this year making a push at the end. So it's been cool to kind of share those experiences with them and kind of come in at the same time. But I think for I always call him Nicholas too. I actually, what do you like? Do you like Nicholas or Nick better? I feel like I've asked him 600 times, but I can't remember.
There's only a few people that call me Nicholas, so
yeah.
I mean, now I've kind of adapted to you calling me that, but usually it's my dad when I'm in trouble. But
okay.
So Cam is that.
Yeah, Cam's that. So
there you go. But I think for him, like personally, like back to the forward and defense conversation, we had a conversation about it going into the season this year, and you know, he kind of alluded to it a little bit there. Like, he's just the type of guy that'll do anything wherever he needs to play, whatever he needs to do, whether it's scoring goals, fighting, like any contribution that he needs to make in the lineup. But like, to be bluntly honest, like, I haven't really seen him change as a person, which is a good thing, because I think the second that he kind of came here, we knew what type of person he was. He's always the first one to volunteer with community events, and someone for me personally that whenever I'm in a pinch or need something, I know that I can kind of reach out, and you know, 99 out of 100 times it's going to be, yeah, I can do it kind of thing like that. So I think for him and for me personally, the last couple of weeks to watch him kind of factor in with a lot of goals has been kind of special too. You know, he's always played a role that you might not always be in a position to kind of get those opportunities. So for him to kind of, you know, take the opportunities that he's been given and kind of thrive in those the last couple of weeks has been super cool to see for me personally. We actually joked about it last week on one of our radio shows, and even after the game, it was in Rapid City, and it was that game on Friday night. We were down, I think it was like 7-2 in the third period, and I had kind of start zoning out a little bit, and all of a sudden we score like 3 goals in like 4 minutes, and there was one. He had 2 at this point, and then there was 1, and it was down on the far side, and I like couldn't tell who scored because there was just all this traffic in front. So I'm up there like in my head, I'm like, I think this guy's got a hat trick, but I don't necessarily know. And I'm like, I don't want to be like screaming my lungs off if this actually didn't happen. So I selfishly, I'm kind of kicking myself because I like out of all the people that I wanted to call a hat trick for, he'd probably be at the top of my list. And I selfishly, like I said, I really didn't get the opportunity. So maybe we'll have to like fake a call or something for it for a video or something.
I got to get another 3 instead.
Or just do it again. That would be even better. I'll take that. Yeah. You would too.
So while scoring goals has been fun for you of late, I'm sure you're also kind of known for your physical play on the ice, and anyone who saw ECHO Unfiltered got to see that. But kind of tell us how that mentality built for you over the years. Is it something you've always been comfortable with, or has it kind of manifested itself here as you've developed and grown into the pro game?
I mean, I've always been that kind of player. I love the physical side of the game, and from when I first started hitting to now, I've always enjoyed that part of it. And you know, I kind of use it as a tool in the toolbox. And, you know, for me being a smaller guy, there's a lot of guys that may look down on me as when it comes to the physical side of my game. And I kind of don't shy away from anything. I use it to my advantage, and I use it as a momentum builder and getting the fans and the team into the game. And I've always loved that part of it. The adrenaline you get from, you know, a fight or a big hit is you know, a big part of the game, and I think it's something that needs to stay involved in the game for sure. So kind of always been a part of my game. Yeah, I think it's just needed.
I watched him at practice this morning. They were kind of doing like this little battle in the corner, and I'm up against the glass, and it's not like big hits, but kind of just like a rub, and I can just like see it in this guy's face. He just loves like getting hit.
I'm
like,
I was smiling.
I'm like, I don't know what's. I'm like, I'm okay, thanks. I'll stay on this side.
So Joe just alluded a little bit. I want to touch on it quickly. ECHL Unfiltered. I know that had a little bit of a focus on you, Nick. And then obviously, Cam, you were there for all the recordings too. So how was that experience, you know, filming with them in person? And then also, did you guys ever watch it back with the team?
Yeah, I mean, it was completely different than to what we're used to. Like, there's cameras around and there's interviews and things like that in your day to day. But we had a camera crew following our every move. They were in the locker room 24/7. They were around the rink 24/7. And you know, a big credit to Tyler, the guy who does the documentary. He was great around all year, and we all built a close relationship with him. But I think it's cool for people to see, you know, who wouldn't, you know, necessarily see around the locker room and our day-to-day life, and kind of see the step-by-step process of what we go through, and, you know, whether it's injuries or the ups and downs of a hockey season, and, you know, everything in between. So you know, I did watch it back. I don't think we watched it back from a team standpoint because it came back or it came out, you know, after everyone was home for the summer. Mm-hmm. But no, it was really cool to watch it with our family and friends and, you know, enjoy watching kind of what they covered all year. And I mean, there were so many videos and clips and everything that didn't make it in. You just see how much goes into the documentary process.
Yeah, I think like even a lot of the players that I talked to like from that season, like I feel like early on, like you kind of notice the cameras, and maybe like the first couple days you're kind of like, eh, but like I feel like once that kind of comes and goes, like you kind of forget that they're even there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tyler was great to work with. He had actually approached us at the end of the 23 season going into playoffs about the idea, and it was just kind of too tight of a turnaround, but we said let's kind of like revisit in the summer, and maybe it's something we can do for the 23-24 season. So we kind of met with him in the summer and kind of went over what his like expectations and what his hopes were, just to make sure we were on the same page. And he was like great. Like, I don't think there was ever an issue where we had to kind of be like, hey, you can't do this or can't do that. Like, we gave him free rein, and if there was something that we saw, but like like I said, he was very respectful of everything that he filmed, and there was no issues. It's actually funny. I think it was 2 weeks ago we actually ran into him in the airport in Denver.
Yeah,
flying back to Boise, coming back from somewhere doing a trip.
Well, we also saw in ECHL Unfiltered that, you know, the Steelheads last season, it was a different group, obviously, a little bit, but it was a very tight-knit group. And we saw Nick, and we also heard from Cam that, funny enough, you're the one that holds the fines. You're the collector,
yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But just walk us through that, and are there any other weird traditions that no one would really know about outside of the rink?
Yeah, I don't really even know why we call it a fine fund anymore. It's like no one's really getting fined for, I mean, if you leave something out or you're not putting things away, you know, simple things like that, you may get, you know, a $25 fine. But I don't even think I have the authority to do that. I think it's the older guys. I'm just the guy who's good with money. So, but no, I mean, usually guys put money up on the board. You know, every game there's someone putting up, whether it's a milestone moment for, you know, points or things like that, or, you know, we need a big win and guys want to put money up on the board. And that money kind of goes towards, you know, team events and, you know, things we do. And whether it's Topgolf for a night or dinner or rookie party or things like that, that the money goes towards. So, I mean, it's kind of a pretty easy job. I just take money out of guys' pockets and that's
Sounds
about
great.
It. But, yeah, exactly. I have a little U.S. bank envelope I carry around and collect it all. But our captain, AJ White, just kind of got tired of doing it and thought I was a good guy to do it. So that's kind of where that came from. But as it comes to, you know, superstitions and maybe things we do around the locker room, there's not really much that I feel like everyone kind of has their own personal things that they do, but nothing really along those lines.
Yeah. He had this like thing in the airport the other day, like if you went to the bank and got like a crap ton of money, like they give you one of those, like, I'm like, what is, like, and he's like, oh yeah, Whitey, like it's been passed down for like years. I'm like,
yeah, it's been
I've
in the
gotten,
team
like,
for
lost
a
in
long
the summer
time.
Something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think I took it on my backpack this summer, but
yeah.
No, and it's pretty funny. I got to leave all the cash in my apartment. You're traveling around the airport with, you know, thousands of dollars in cash and try not to carry it everywhere with me. So
not suspicious at all.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
All right, we're going to jump in here. We have some rapid fire questions. I'm going to have Joe kick it off, but I'll have both of you guys answer it. Cam, obviously, from like a broadcaster standpoint. Nick, from a player standpoint.
Okay. Your first question is your favorite and least favorite arena team to play against.
Favorite has got to be Boise. I mean, it doesn't, they don't lie. You get, we've had, I don't know how many consecutive sellouts, Cam. You got the exact stat
61.
For that? 61. I mean, the fans are incredible, and they do a great job of supporting us. And, yeah, that's definitely my favorite place to play and probably my least favorite. I might get some crap for this, but Rapid City, South Dakota. I just don't like going over there. I don't know. I don't like really the rink and the feel there. So,
hey, you guys are throwing us on the spot here.
Yeah.
I'll second the Rapid City. Yeah, just leave it at
you
that.
You better second the Boise, too, for your favorite.
Well, aside from Boise, because that's like the layup answer. Like, that's such
yeah.
a cop-out answer, and I'd expect nothing less from you. I'd probably go Toledo. Like, when we played in Toledo, Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, next one here. If you could choose any player in the ECHL to be on your line and then also in the net, who would they be?
Do we have to pick,
oh
like,
my God.
Is this like outside of the Steelheads?
Yes.
Okay. Outside of the Steelheads. I got a guy, Damien Giroux on Kansas City. We just played him, so that's kind of an easy answer. But I grew up playing with Damien, great player, great kid off the ice. You know, just an incredible guy to be around and plays the game the right way, hard and physical and fast. And that's probably the guy I'd pick to be my line mate. And if I were to pick a goalie, people aren't going to like this, but I'd probably say Cam Johnston because I mean, he's just been dynamite. He shut us out 4 straight in the Kelly Cup finals a couple of years ago. And I may might not like playing against the guy, but I think he'd be a pretty cool goalie, other than our goalies in Boise, to put in the net.
I got a great goalie one. I'm going Adam Scheel.
Yeah, that is
Grizzlies
good.
Now, how about
that's
that?
A layup, yeah,
like,
man.
There, huh? And then skater wise, I'll go back to my Worcester days and give Anthony Rapace a shout out. He was an awesome dude. I think my last year there was his first year, and obviously he's still there and has been their captain, which I saw coming for a long time. Just a great guy on and off the ice, and just a natural goal scorer as well.
Nick, is there a specific game or moment you'd consider to be a turning point in your career?
In my pro career in the ECHL?
Yeah.
I'm going to think about this. I'd say there was a game against Allen in the playoffs, I believe, in our first year. It was a 4-on-4 shift. I got the pass from, I think it was Register Mizziak, but kind of made a good move and ended up scoring in front of a sellout crowd. And that was kind of just a feel-good moment, I'd say, where, you know, my confidence was, you know, high and just doing it at home in front of our fans in a key moment in the playoffs. That one felt pretty good. You got any, Cam?
Do I get that
any
question?
Game changing
yeah,
moments.
My career. Yeah.
Well, I guess my poison when you had this costume, right?
Yeah. I think no. I think I back to the Western Conference Finals when we played Toledo games 1 and 2 at home. Those were probably two of the most fun games that I've been associated with, and the one moment that sticks out for me particularly from one of those games, I can't remember if it was game 1 or 2, and Nicholas, you'll probably remember this. Wade Murphy came out of the penalty box and got a breakaway, and the goalie saved it. He got his own rebound from behind the net and came out and rolled to the circle and shot his own rebound, like, and scored. And, he came to center ice and, like, just an unbelievable celebration. But the whole, like, sequence of him, and if you know Wade Murphy, it was just, like, the most fitting thing. Like, comes out of the penalty box. Let's be honest, he probably took a penalty that he shouldn't have taken. And and he comes out of the penalty box, like, misses the first opportunity. He's so fast that he gets the puck again and scores. And it's just like, yep, that's Murph.
Yeah.
But those two games stick out to me particularly. I mean, honestly, that whole season, but specifically that playoff run too. I guess all those overtime games against Utah. That's not a fair question. There's too many games.
All right, next one here for both of you. Most memorable moment so far with the Steelheads? Also a loaded question.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to just throw that whole first year kind of into the question. I mean, it was just such a fun year. We had such an incredible group. We were so close. And, you know, to be on a record-setting team and a championship team was so special. And, you know, for me in my career, it was my first year or second year pro, first year pro in North America. And it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. And yeah, I take so many great things from that group and the people I met and all the success that we had. So
if I had to get specific, I'll say Jack Becker's overtime game winner against Utah 2 years ago, game 6 to complete 4 straight overtime wins.
Yeah.
After going down 2-0 in the series.
Your
Shout
face was
Jack
everywhere
Becker.
After that. That series,
that?
Man. Your face was everywhere after that series. All the overtime calls you had.
Yeah, my face was redder than this record button on here.
All right, we'll let you guys go after this one. Who on your team would you most want to be stuck on a deserted island with? Who would you not want to be stranded on a deserted island with?
Oh, God.
I think you can choose each other for who you want to be stranded with, right? I mean,
yeah, no. Well, definitely not want to be deserted with Cam. No. I'd say probably Demetrius Koumantzis is probably the guy I'm picking to go to the deserted island with because he's an all-time cook, and I wouldn't mind having my food there cooked by him. A guy I would choose not to, probably Matt Register, honestly. I'm going to send him this after too, but we'd probably bicker back and forth the whole time and just not get anything done together. So
I'm trying to think of it. My who I would want to be with would be AJ White. I think he would have pretty good survival skills, and he's just a cool dude. Like, I think we could hang out, have a good time, and then, like, survival skill-wise, like, it's pretty high up there, too, so I'll take that. Guys that I wouldn't want to be with? Oh, man. I'm trying to think, like...
Throw me under the bus here. We don't have Nicholas the size. Kanade. We don't he's have too, the size to...
I'll go Nicholas Kanade because he's too short, and we'd probably have to climb up and get coconuts for drinking fluids, and he wouldn't be able to reach them.
Oh, God.
We'd be up on each other's shoulders.
Yeah,
we still wouldn't be able to get them.
Yeah, we wouldn't have much going there.
And then we would die from dehydration.
Yeah.
That's not the way to end.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Cam and Nick, we thank you both for taking the time to join us today, and best of luck to the team here as you head down the home stretch into the final month of the regular season.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate thanks you having me on.
Yeah, thank you both.
All right, we thank both Nick and Cam for joining us today on this week's episode of the ECHL Ice Level Podcast. Make sure you like, rate, subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. Check us out every week. And also make sure you're following us on social media at ECHL Hockey on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and at ECHL on X. We will talk to you again next week.